Hi, everybody. Jimmy DeYoung. Welcome to Prophecy Today. Guess what? I'm going to ask you for 90 minutes. If you'll give me that, I'll give you the world, and we'll look at current events happening around this world that may well be setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. We're going to go to Washington, D.C. to talk with Ken Timmerman. He's on the catbird seat there. We'll be with Ken in a moment. David Dolan standing by has got a Middle East news update. John Rood is going to cover the European Union. He has some very interesting thoughts about this chemical attack there in Great Britain, supposedly caused by Russia. Stay tuned for that. Don DeYoung, we're going to be talking about the death of Stephen Hawking and the impact he had on the scientific world. Jim Jr.'s, he's in Jerusalem. We'll talk with Jim. He and his brother Rick are there having a tour group travel into the land of the Bible. And then David James, we're going to talk about evangelicalism. Where did it come from? What is it all about? Is it real today? This is all ahead right here on Prophecy Today. By the way, I'm in temporary studios in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois. There are two towns right next together. Here with WPEO Radio, Bob Ulrich. This is the station that first put us on the air, suggested we take this hour and a half and do a nationwide broadcast. We're going to be with him for a special event on today, and then on this afternoon late, we're going on to Rensselaer, Indiana, the Tri-County Bible Church. Be there all day Sunday, a one-day prophecy conference. Well, let me go to Ken Timmerman. Ken, just before I went on the air, I got a copy, the email you sent me, telling about the magazine article you did for Front Page. Very interesting read. I want everybody to go up to my website, prophecytoday.com. But this seems to indicate you're talking about an event taking place, I think it was March 16th, 1988, but it proved that Saddam Hussein did have chemical weapons because he gassed thousands, I understand, of the Kurds in the northern part of Iraq, and it may well have a connection to what's going on in Syria. Talk to me about it briefly. The people can read the article in a moment.
Absolutely. This is the 30th anniversary of the Halabja massacre, the attempted genocide of the Kurds by Saddam Hussein using mustard gas and sarin against civilians. About 5,000 people died. You know, I think you and I spoke about this 5 years ago when I was in Halabja on this same day for a commemoration ceremony there. So my article today talks about an effort by survivors of the massacre to find some justice in a lawsuit against the chemical weapons manufacturers in Germany, in particular, the companies and the people who supplied these deadly weapons to Saddam Hussein. There was significant information at the beginning of the 2003 Iraq war that Saddam was sending chemical weapons into Syria. In fact, that information came from a gentleman called James Clapper, who at the time was the head of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency that controls all of our spy satellites. And he was talking about satellite photographs that showed convoys of trucks leaving Saddam's known chemical weapons facilities and heading for Syria. He said, we couldn't see inside the trucks, but it was certainly odd that they were doing that, going into the desert and then having things taken out of the trucks and buried in the desert in Syria. Now, all of that said, Jimmy, Syria didn't need Saddam Hussein to gain chemical weapons. They already had their own extensive program, started with the French in 1977, and they also, just like Saddam, turned to German companies for precursors for the chemical weapons and for actual production technology. So this is a technology that is out there. It's not all that complicated. The North Koreans today appear to have stepped in as a supplier in Syria to the Syrian government. So those weapons are still out there despite a worldwide ban in 1989.
And it goes to the fact that indeed there were chemical weapons of mass destruction under the tutelage of Saddam Hussein. Quite interesting information coming out. Great read. It's on my homepage, prophecytoday.com. This last week, Rex Tillerson, Secretary of State, was fired, and there is a rumor out, some, I don't know if you'd call it a rumor or is it real true news or not, that he was fired because of a rogue bid to try to save the Iranian nuclear deal. Do you know anything about that, Kim?
Yeah, this is more than a rumor. Tillerson has been in discussions with the foreign ministers of the European Union, who themselves were among the negotiators of this bad Iran nuclear deal. And he was absolutely trying to save it. He had said repeatedly in public that he thought we should save the deal, perhaps a couple of amendments, small little amendments that the Europeans thought they might be able to get the Iranians to agree to. And President Trump said, no, this has to be a major overhaul of the deal or we're walking away from it. Let me tell you why that's important, Jimmy. The way the deal is written now, that Obama and John Kerry, his Secretary of State, negotiated, it allows the Iranians in 10 years to, again, massively enrich uranium, potentially to make nuclear weapons. It takes the restrictions off their uranium enrichment. In the meantime, the deal had done nothing to restrict Iran's missile test. It's a nuclear-capable missile test, and the Iranians have been testing and testing and testing ever since they signed the nuclear deal. And it gave them $150 billion of foreign currency deposits. It released that money, which had been frozen overseas in South Korea and Japan and China, Hong Kong, and other places. So we gave them a huge financial shot in the arm to revive the regime and did not put any meaningful restrictions either on their nuclear weapons, their long-term nuclear weapons capabilities, or their ballistic missile efforts. And so I believe that those reports that Tillerson was fired because of this are absolutely true, and that the president was just waiting until he had convinced Mike Pompeo, who was at CIA at the time, to come on over and take up the Secretary of State's mantle.
Very interesting development. And, of course, this has ramifications as it relates to the entire Middle East. Should there be a nuclear-powered Iran, the Saudi crown prince says we will get a nuclear weapon of mass destruction as well if Iran does that. Boy, that could cause a real battle for powers that control nuclear weapons.
And, you know, it shouldn't surprise anybody to hear the Saudi crown prince say that. One of the arguments that I and people like John Bolton and many others were making when the nuclear deal was being negotiated by Obama and John Kerry was that, look, this is going to lead to proliferation. It's clearly going to lead to proliferation. It's going to encourage other countries in the region to go acquire nuclear weapons as well. And obviously the first among them is going to be Saudi Arabia. The Saudis have two paths to the bomb. Either they can take this civilian nuclear program that they recently announced. They said that they want to build nuclear power plants, right, to replace oil and natural gas as a source of power in the kingdom. And they could either take those power plants and fuel from those power plants and divert them illegally into a weapons program, or they could go a much quicker route, one that some analysts believe that they have, if not actually done, certainly laid the groundwork for, and that is to purchase a weapon or a group of weapons from Pakistan. Why is that feasible? Because Saudi Arabia has been Pakistan's biggest financial supporter for 30 years. Many believe the Saudis, in fact, bankrolled Pakistan's nuclear program. Pakistan is believed to have anywhere between 60 and 120 nuclear weapons in its arsenal, so it's a big deal.
It is certainly a big deal. And by the way, President Trump will be meeting with the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia this upcoming week at the White House. Talk to me about our old buddy Tayyip Erdogan. He said that NATO, which he's a member of, by the way, is not strong enough to stand up to Turkey. And he's trying to prove that as well, isn't he?
An amazing statement, amazing chutzpah on the part of this dictator, Tayyip Erdogan in Turkey. And I mean, it's just so astonishing. Jimmy, let me read you what he told a crowd at a rally, an election rally in Mersin in southern Turkey. He said, if NATO, this is a direct quote, he said, if NATO members were strong enough in Syria, they would have stood up to us openly and clearly, but they don't have the cheek, and so Turkey is standing up. I mean, that is really an amazing statement. This man is not a NATO ally. Turkey does not belong in the NATO alliance. Again, Tillerson, the outgoing Secretary of State, was trying to keep Turkey on the reservation, but Turkey has long been off the reservation, and Tillerson was basically like a monkey with his hands in front of his eyes. He just didn't want to see it. He didn't want to see the truth in front of him. I hope that Mike Pompeo, as Secretary of State, is going to recognize what's going on in Turkey and punish the Turks, the government of Erdogan, appropriately. They should not be in NATO. And if they remain in NATO, they should have their access to any kind of intelligence information and weapons transfers completely cut off, in my view.
Talk to me about the United States monitoring the possible North Korean military base in Syria. What about that?
Well, this is a potentially a really big deal. U.S. spy satellites have picked up underground tunneling that's been going on apparently for a number of years in an area controlled by the Syrian government. They believe that it could be an underground chemical weapons site or possibly a nuclear weapons site. This is important. If North Korea makes an agreement with the U.S. to somehow denuclearize, and if they just transfer those capabilities into Syria and into Iran, well, denuclearization of North Korea will not have accomplished very much.
As we have a conversation with Ken Timmerman this time, sounds like this world's getting more dangerous than it has been in the past. But when we mention the players, they're all a part of that scenario that's found in God's Word, an end-time scenario that Bible prophecy lets us know is about to take place, which is very interesting if you're a student of what's going to happen in the future. Ken, always a very interesting conversation. I want everybody to go to my website, prophecytoday.com. Go to the home page and read the article that you wrote about the situation there with the Kurds back in 1988. Thank you so much for your writing, for the honor we have to have you right here with us on the broadcast. We appreciate it. Talk to you again next week.
My pleasure, Jimmy. God bless.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I've got David Nolan standing by. He has a Middle East news update all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.